Welcome to the STEM Dreams podcast. STEM Dreams exists to bring awareness to STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. My name is Linda Hargrove, and I'm an engineer, and I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Claude Hargrove. Say hi, Claude.
Hello.
He's an engineer, and he teaches engineering technology. This is our second episode. Today, we have a young engineer as our guest. His name is Darren Williams. He and I talked a while back about his path to his current role as a civil engineering manager for the Virginia Department of Transportation. But before we get to that, I wanted to mention something that he talked about toward the end of his comments. He made some interesting points about math literacy, math capabilities. So I wanted to chat with you, Claude, a little bit about that before we got into our talk with Darren. I mean, my foundation was shaky. You have a different story with math, Claude. I think yours is probably typical of many engineers. They wouldn't dare say, wouldn't dare admit that they hated math at one point. I mean, eventually I caught it. I got it. It took me a while.
But I wanted to hit on another topic, though. You had mentioned in our conversation this idea of what STEM is. And if I were to play with the acronym STEM, I would keep math capitalized. And I would have all the other letters, S-T-E, be lowercase. Because in reality, when you think of STEM, every STEM-related career has a basis or a foundation that centers in math. And so without math, there is no science, there is no technology, and there definitely is no engineering. And so math, to be honest, is kind of paramount. Now, do you have to be an expert in math to be successful? Of course not. But it always is good to have a firm foundation.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, my foundation was shaky at best when I started as a college freshman, but it got better. Tutoring was essential. Not being easily discouraged. I learned how to kind of navigate initial disappointment and, you know, pride and whatever. So I was used to being really straight A student, top of my game in a small school, but I didn't have that strong math instruction starting out, coming out of high school. So I was behind compared to the other college freshmen, but eventually I got it, and I enjoy math. In a sense, I think it was good to have college algebra.
That sometimes we've depended so much on technology that we've lost sight on basic algebra. And so we've allowed the calculators to do those things for us. I think when it's all said and done, it may have hurt us as a whole more than helped. Because I remember back in the day when we didn't have those high power calculators, that our algebra skills were actually stronger. What was reinforced was foundational math, especially algebra.
Thanks for sharing, Claude. That was really insightful. So enough chit-chat. Let's go to Darren's interview.
Thanks for joining us for today's STEM Dreams podcast. Today we have a young man who has expertise in more than one discipline of engineering. He has both military and civilian engineering experience. I think that's great. That's a unique combination. His name is Darren Williams. Welcome to the podcast, Darren.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me to the podcast to speak about STEM.
Sure. So you are a registered professional engineer, and you currently work with the Virginia Department of Transportation as the manager in the Movable Bridges Unit.
What's your typical day look like? How does it start?
Okay. My typical day as an engineer in this role, I like to watch the news in the morning because the first thing that comes on the news is traffic. So people are concerned with the major transits, which are bridges, which and for us, we have movable bridges. So if there's a bridge left, well, we know it's at least a 15 minute backup if we open the bridge. So they're complex structures. So they're one of your larger structures that you'll see in the area. That's probably the first thing is, but that's after if I had the time, I'll read scriptures first and do some prayer. From there, I'll try to listen on the radio or watch on TV what's going on with traffic. And then also we have a VA 511 app that allows me to see the traffic on the roadway. And also I'll get an email in the morning about which bridges are supposed to lift. That's where I want to have my mind set on which bridges are opening and closing. And is everything working fine? Is everyone safe? From there, since my job entails the operation of the bridge, the maintenance, and then also we have inspection, and then we also do design review. So I have to partition my time to focus on those things. And part of that, too, is fiscal management, because there's contract with our VDOT employees. We purchase things to repair things, so we have to have a budget and know what we can do and what we can't do to maximize the life cycle of the bridge.
Mm-hmm. So there's more than just math and science involved in your job. Sounds like there's coordination as well as budgeting and planning. Am I hearing that correctly?
Yes, there's public relations, because if things aren't working right, people are angry.
Yeah.
And this was even just not so civil engineers, we have to really work with the public well, because our projects are seen, but I would say specifically for this one, that there are complaints or there could be good feedback, but people want to know what's going on if something's not going the way it normally is, or if they want something fixed, they'll also talk to you about it. And I've had people talk to me about an issue they've had on the roadway, waiting in line for ice cream.
Wow.
So we have to have an ear for that and be compassionate about it.
Yeah.
Because I would say when I meet less with the public now, but when I was with the city, I actually had to go to people's houses to listen to them. And some people could be irate, and you have to know how to deal with that. So you can, because at the end of the day, you want to fix the solution because everyone's paying their taxes. So
yeah. Yeah.
You want to make sure that whatever people are using, it works.
Mm-hmm. Great. So you didn't start out in transportation engineering, though. You graduated from the Naval Academy with a Bachelor's of Science in Ocean Engineering. So tell me about that.
Ocean Engineering is actually a facet of civil engineering. And yeah, there's only a few colleges that actually teach ocean engineering. We call it Naval Architecture and Marine Engineering. So how is it applicable? Well, I would say with transportation, 90% of all goods come across the ocean. So. Yeah, so, ocean engineering,
I mean,
is transportation.
Yeah.
It does. It's just cheaper to bring it on bulk on ships than it is to fly it in a plane. So, and that's just the way transportation has been for, I don't know, the last 500, 600, for as long as we can think of, things go by boat rather than on other forms of transportation. There's two facets of it. You have the coastal region. And you have the deep sea.
Mm-hmm.
So with the coastal, you're dealing with ports, dealing with sediment and erosion. You're dealing with building structures out in the ocean or close on the coast. So we see a lot of it. And then deep sea would be, you see like wind turbines, you see oil rigs. Well, ocean engineers have to design those platforms they go out to sea. And also there's humans can only go so far down in the sea. So ocean engineers actually built the robots to go deeper in the sea to go over. So
that's cool.
Ocean engineering. Well, I selected civil engineering because my father, he was a civil engineer, and he actually worked for Caltrans. And so I was exposed to it. So I knew this is what I want to do. I want to be a civil engineer.
And that's California Transportation.
Yes, California Department of Transportation. And I went to the Naval Academy, and at the military academies, the Naval Academy does not offer civil engineering. only West Point does, Air Force Academy does, but Naval Academy, it does not. So I studied all the majors I could do, and the closest thing to civil engineering was ocean engineering.
Gotcha.
So I studied coastal. So I took courses in environmental engineering. I took courses in structures. So which was installing piles out in the ocean or out in the water. I'm trying to think. We took a lot of the basic courses that you have to take, the core courses you have to take to get a engineering degree. And if you look at the ranking in the Naval Academy, it's always within the top probably three for engineering schools. And then I wanted to go to a top engineering school, and ocean engineering was the closest thing to civil engineering. So I knew that's what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And you said your father was a civil engineer.
So your dad was your role model.
Well, I watched him, so I knew that there was a fundamentals of engineering exam you have to take.
Mm-hmm.
So he would leave the family for like a week or two and go study and sometimes not pass. And when he finally passed, then he had to wait 5 years and start studying some more to pass the PE exam.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew there was more studying after you finished college. So I knew was it senior year, you could take the FE. So I studied and I made sure I passed it so I wouldn't have to leave my family and go studying for hours.
Yeah.
And he inspired me to get the PE. So, and I could see why he did that, because his father wasn't able to do that for him. He didn't know he had to do those things. So I mean, he had mentors, but it's different if someone's an engineer in your house compared to someone that's mentoring you from the outside. So it was a blessing to have that, because I know he didn't have that. He was navigating engineering by himself.
That's good. Thanks for sharing that. So you've had active duty experience as an engineer. What did that look like? I mean, how many years, and how does it compare to working for state government?
The second you graduate from Naval Academy, after everyone walks the stage, and then we all raise our hands to get commissioned. So I was commissioned as an officer. First thing that you're expected to be as an officer, the leader. So that was the main focus, was to be the leader of whatever division or whatever WASH team you're on. I was the leader. I had to make a decision. So I would say at the age of 22, 23, I mean, it was an awesome feeling, but then it was like, wow, that's a lot of weight too.
Yeah.
But it was, I would say it was awesome to be in that position to make decisions.
Mm-hmm. At 23 years old, yeah.
Yeah, 23 years old, driving a warship with 3,000 people on it. It was
about
1,000 engineer crew and 2,000 that are the Marines. And I'm an officer to deck. Everybody's asleep and everyone's trusted me to drive the boat safely. So
Yeah.
there's weapons on there. And I have the option to say, let's fire. So that's a lot of responsibility at that age. And at that time too, I was married, so thinking about my family too while I'm doing this. But the engineering part of it was, engineering is engineering. You have a set of plans, or you have specifications, and you have to follow those to make sure you complete the project. And if there's and from all projects I've been in, there's going to be issues. You need to get with the team and reevaluate and make any changes that are reasonable to complete the project.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a few while I was in my first tour, but after that, I joined the nuclear program. So your first tour, that was just more leadership, but I focused more on the maintenance aspect of engineering. And then I think I had one project to replace the whole computer network system, which was cool because I never had any IT training, but they put me over to the IT department, and we needed a new computer system because the last computer system kept crashing. So,
wow!
I got a Microsoft book and started reading.
Engineers are problem solvers, so there you go.
Yeah, I just started reading, and so I could understand what backbones were, how the whole network works, so I could at least talk to the project manager to put in a new network system.
That was cool.
And then, but the Naval Nuclear Power School, that was awesome. And I would just say the difference between that training and the other training I had was, it was verbatim.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were trying to teach you probably 2 to 3 years worth of schooling in 1 year.
Wow.
So in order to do that, you had to memorize everything.
You had to memorize.
So whatever the book said, you had to write it word for word. Not, you couldn't change it. You couldn't imply. You couldn't talk about what you knew. You had to regurgitate what was exactly on that other sheet of paper.
Mm-hmm. It's life or death.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, because if you make a mistake or if you don't know what you're doing, then it can hurt people. And
there's a
pipeline they have, and it's only 1 year, so you have mm-hmm. to know it. So that was a fun experience, but there's a lot of things that I did not. There were areas I struggled in undergraduate. Well, they showed back up at nuclear power school. I figured it out. Didn't have a choice, because if you failed, then you're out.
Yeah, you were motivated.
And I was motivated. I would say as an engineer, it was great to at least go back over those principles that I was struggling in.
Mm-hmm.
Because with college, at the end of the day, you can take a final where you did all right, but you talk to the professor a little bit, but nuclear power school was just either do you know it or you don't. And I'm trying to think. And another thing, too, was it allowed me to, because a nuclear power plant is just not mechanical. It's just not electrical. And it's structural also. So I had to learn all of those three different fields.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good knowledge to have.
Mm-hmm. And this is a floating nuclear power plant.
Yeah.
Wow. That's intense. But it does sound like you've had a very interesting career so far.
Yes, because when I left nuclear power school, I went to the Carl Vinson, and I was in the refueling complex overhaul division. So mm-hmm. that was very interesting too, with project management or learning about safety with work controls, which means putting tag outs or
mm-hmm.
lockouts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Boundaries for safety of personnel. So that's what I focused on for 2 years.
Environmental safety. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Very diverse. What advice would you offer students who might be thinking of a career in STEM or ocean engineering, maybe? What advice would you give them?
And if you're in high school and junior high, pass your math courses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You take the most challenging math courses because they do have programs now where if you're not strong in math, you can take the engineering technology. But mm-hmm. I would still say just do as well as you can and spend as much time with the math
mm-hmm.
because that's the foundation to engineering is the calculations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So pass the math.
Yep. Many of my students would tell me, but I'm not going to do calculus on my job. Why do I need all this math? What would you answer? What would you tell them, Darren?
Well, calculus is a challenging subject, and it causes you to solve a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times as engineers, that's all we do is solve problems. There's not a true answer to it, but the person who can solve it the best
mm-hmm.
will complete the project. So that's why you do have the challenging mathematics like algebra. So that's why I say take it.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be challenged. So if you don't like that challenge, what happens when another challenge comes? You're like,
gives you that fortitude, that grit that you need to solve those problems, the hard ones.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes.
So before we wrap up, I want to circle back to something that you mentioned at the beginning. And I appreciate that you brought out the spiritual element. The engineering involves working for the public good. So you mentioned that you start your day with the spiritual focus. How important is your faith to you and how you do your job?
Well, faith is important because it allows me to say I trust and I believe in God. And they're as smart and as intelligent as I want to sound, or I believe that I am, I know that I'm not. I know I do not have all the answers. And faith allows me to trust the people I work with, trust that we'll, whatever problem that we have or whatever we want to build or whatever issue we're, or whatever malfunction we may have with a bridge that's operating, I trust that whatever challenge that we're in, we'll get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it's not on my will or my effort. I believe that there's a God that is helping me. Mm-hmm. So that's why my faith is important, because I know there was a lot of times and courses I had no clue.
Hmm.
So just having that trust and faith, because I would say that was probably the most important thing to me when I was at the Naval Academy, was the ability to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wasn't doing well all the time. I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't the smartest, but I just knew that, because I knew some people, they would just study for hours. I just knew I had to take that 2 hours or 3 hours and just go to church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I know I wasn't the best person either, but I just know spending that time has helped me to get where I'm at.
That's good. Well, thank you, Darren. That wraps up our time together. Did you have anything else you want to add?
So I would say joining organizations in the engineering field you like, or for me, I've even joined like safety organizations. Knowing people can only help you,
because
mm-hmm. you don't have the answer to everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say join, like, I'm a member of American Society of Civil Engineers. I'm a member of the American Society of Safety Professionals. So just being in there, I've met people that have helped me. So just, and so having that ability to be an organization that can help you can only be beneficial to you.
Okay. Great advice. Thank you so much for being on the STEM Dreams podcast. We appreciate you and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's interesting. I really enjoyed talking with Darren. What are your thoughts?
Some of the things that stood out with me was the impact that his father had and the things that he was able to observe. Sometimes there are things better caught than taught. And so he was able to see some of the challenges that his dad faced. And so he didn't want to go through those things. And so some of the things that he did in preparing for his PE and his FE experiences were kind of interesting to me. He used the idea that math was a means to prepare people for being able to solve challenges or to solve problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was kind of like building a muscle, so to speak, preparing them for future challenges and future obstacles for them to solve. And so that was kind of interesting to me as well, sort of how he prefaced that in
mm-hmm,
a way.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I wanted to talk about math before we even got into this, so that people could have that on their mind and they wouldn't miss that point. I thought it was a really, really powerful point. Well, that concludes this episode of STEM Dreams. Many thanks to our sponsor, Wildlands Engineering. If you would like to be a sponsor of the STEM Dreams podcast, please leave a comment and let us know. If you have someone you would like us to interview, or if you would like to be interviewed, drop us a line at idreamstem@gmail.com. Check out our website, idreamstem.org. We have resources for parents, as well as school administrators, teachers that want to see more kids in STEM. If you know a kid that has a STEM dream, we want to hear from you. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.